Vyas Thakur ki jai. Prem Shri Gaur Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shyam Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Mathura Dham ki jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Gangamayi Jamuna Devi ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulsi Maharani ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Prema. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvasesu Sunyavadi Paskajade Satarane. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Cha Panchakalpa Chupascha Kipasindaviya Vatap Dijanam Pavanegyo Vaishnavam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
August 5th, 2019, in Zagreb, Croatia. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, Text 26 and 27. Which verse is on the board? Yam cha bhumir bhagavata.
Yam cha bhumir bhagavata.
Nasito rubarasati.
Nasito rubarasati.
Srimad Bhistat Pada Nyasai.
Srimad Bhistat Pada Nyasai.
Sarvata Krita Kotuka.
Sarvata Krita Kotuka.
Please chant. Iyam.
Iyam.
This.
This.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Bhumi.
Bhumi.
Surface of the earth.
Surface of the earth.
Bhagavata.
Bhagavata.
By the personality of Godhead.
By the personality of Godhead.
Nyasita.
Nyasita.
Being performed personally as well as by others.
Being performed personally as well as by
others. Uru.
Uru.
Great.
Great.
Bada.
Bada.
Burden.
Burden.
Sati.
Sati.
Being so done.
Being so done.
Srimadbi.
Srimadbi.
By the all auspicious.
By the all auspicious.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Pada Nyasai. Footprints.
Footprints.
Sarvataha.
Sarvataha.
All around.
All
around.
Krita.
Krita. Done.
Done.
Kotuka.
Kotuka.
Good fortune.
Good fortune.
Srila Prabhupada's translation. The burden of the earth was certainly diminished by the personality of Godhead and by others as well. When he was present as an incarnation, all good was performed because of his auspicious footprints. She should go anytime. Text 27. Now she, the chaste one, being unfortunately forsaken by the personality of Godhead, laments her future with tears in her eyes, for now she's being ruled and enjoyed by lower class men who pose as rulers. Purport. The kshatriya, or the man who is qualified to protect the sufferers, is meant to rule the state. Untrained lower class men, or men without ambition to protect the sufferers, cannot be placed on the seat of an administrator. Unfortunately, in the age of Kali, the lower class men without training occupy the post of a ruler by strength of popular votes. And instead of protecting the sufferers, such men create a situation quite intolerable for everyone. Such rulers illegally gratify themselves at the cost of all comforts of the citizens, and thus the chaste Mother Earth cries to see the pitiable condition of her sons, both men and animals. That is the future of the world in the age of Kali, where irreligiosity prevails most prominently. And in the absence of a suitable king to curb irreligious tendencies, educating the people systematically in the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam will clear up the hazy atmosphere of corruption, bribery, blackmail, etc. So here Maharaj Purkhit is saying that the problem is that Krishna is not there. Krishna is not there, and the people who are supposed to represent Krishna are corrupt. And of course, the situation is still continuing thousands of years later. Krishna is gone, and the people who are supposed to be taking care as Krishna's representatives aren't doing that. So what happens when Krishna's on the earth? We have this tat pada nasai. His footprints are on the earth. And of course we have so many stories of Krishna's footprints. I suppose one that I like the best is when Krishna's in Kaliya's coils. And Krishna went out that day without Balaram. And he went to a lake that was formed by the river Yamuna. The acharyas say that the lake was separated from the regular flow of the river. So this happens in rivers. As rivers churn in their natural course, sometimes one of those turns gets separated. The river splits, and one of the curves is like this, and then the flow of the river is like this. And sometimes more water goes this way, and so this curve becomes separated. It's called an oxbow. I don't know why exactly. And then it can become a lake that's right next to the river, but it's not in the flow of the river anymore. So somehow that day Krishna decided to go to that lake where Kaliya was. And of course when he went there, the lake was so poisonous that all the birds were falling out of the sky into this lake from the poisonous fumes. And the cows that went to drink the water died. The boys who were drinking the water died. Everybody was dead. And then Krishna decided to save his friends. He climbed a kadamba tree. Kadamba trees are very large. In our Durban temple in South Africa, we have kadamba trees. I think Parthasarathy Maharaj brought a bunch of trees from India to South Africa. Anyway, these kadamba trees are huge. Picking kadamba flowers is not an easy job. They usually have to have some sort of poles and to pick the flowers. And this kadamba tree, maybe Garuda preserved it with nectar so it was still alive, or knowing that Krishna would climb it in the future, or maybe Krishna, by touching the tree, brought it back to life. But anyway, it was alive. And Krishna climbed it, and then he put his curls up in his turban, readjusted his turban, tightened his belt, flapped his arms, and he jumped in the water. When he jumped in the water, Kaliya became disturbed. Well, before he did all that, he brought his friends and cows back to life. And Kaliya became very disturbed. What are you doing in my home? Just like, in general, demoniac people become disturbed when God enters. This is the situation in so much of the world today. People are like, don't talk about God. Don't bring God into the conversation. Don't bring religion. Keep everything separate from God. And Kali became very disturbed. What are you doing in my home? And so he attacked Krishna, and he's put his coils around Krishna. So there are some snakes kill by biting with poison, and some snakes kill by suffocation, by crushing. And Kaliya obviously could do both. So he could bite with poison. Just the fumes from him were poisonous, and also he could kill with coiling. So he was holding Krishna for 2 hours. Generally, if a snake coils, it kills quite quickly. But Krishna was there for 2 hours. And everybody was lamenting. The cowherd boys They had been brought back to life, but they became unconscious. And the demigods were in distress that Krishna was in these coils, and so they were giving all sorts of inauspicious omens. There's a whole science of omens. I think Nakula was very expert in this science of omens, that how you can read the signs in nature. We have one godbrother who's an astrologer, and he was specifically trained in how to read omens. And one story he told that I always found very interesting is some man came to an astrologer and he says, "My wife has gone with another man. Will she come back to me?" And just at that moment, the astrologer's disciple comes in and says, Gurudev, we were trying to get some water out of the well. You know, in a well, you take the bucket down and you take it up. He said, as we were bringing the bucket up from the well, the rope broke and the bucket went into the well. So the astrologer looked at his disciples that were in the room. He said, "What does this mean?" And they said, "This means the woman will not come back to her husband. The relationship will be broken." He said, "No." He said, "The home of the bucket is in the well. So this means she will break her relationship with the other man and go back to her home." So there's this science of reading omens. You know, where if the deer are passing on the left or the deer are passing on the right, what does that mean? A couple months ago now, I was in a car with one devotee, and we saw going to our destination a dead deer on our right, and coming back from our destination another dead deer on our right. This is very strange, but I don't know the science of omens, so I don't know what does this mean, right? Or the other day when I was taking a walk, I walk here in the forest every morning, I saw a fox carrying some dead animal like a rabbit or a rat or something on my left side, and I thought, this must mean something, right? But I don't know what it means. I'm not trained. So there are these, in former times, people were trained. What word do you need to know? What word? Tell me the word.
Omens.
Okay. Just ask. We will answer. You don't need dictionary. So, in former times, people knew how to read these things. You know, Krishna and the demigods, they do communicate with human society, but you have to know how to read it. It's like you get a message from someone. If you cannot read the language, the message doesn't mean anything to you. So the demigods were showing these omens. It was their way of communicating with the residents of Vrindavan. There's a problem. And the residents of Vrindavan, being trained in these things, they could understand there's some problem. There's some catastrophe. And then people were talking, what could the problem be? Oh, Krishna has gone to the forest without Balaram. Bless you. So Balaram's only a few days older than Krishna. But still, they're thinking Balaram's the older brother. He will take care of Krishna. Very sweet. I thought, it must be Krishna that's in trouble because he has gone without Balaram. Where did Krishna go? Because the Vrindavan forest is a very big area. There's 12 forests of Vrindavan, and Krishna goes to different forests at different times. So where did Krishna go? You know, today you can have your friend with their mobile phone and they can have this Life 360 on their phone, and you can track them. You know this? You can track your friends, where they are. You can see on a map. But they didn't have this kind of technology. Of course, they had very advanced, subtle technology. Babies are fine, don't worry. No problem. It's not a problem. And you understand English?
Yes.
Okay. So they're thinking, where did Krishna go? So how did they find Krishna? How did they find Krishna?
Usually when there was like something, there was in the, you could see the from the distance, like, or fire or anything.
Okay, but there is this they could not see. So how did they find Krishna? If you remember the verse from today, you'll know how they found Krishna.
Footsteps.
Yes. So they found his footprints, because Krishna's footprints are very special. You know, on my feet, there's just some lines. But on Krishna's footprint, there's pictures. I mean, you can look at your hands and kind of imagine pictures, you know, like, okay, that looks like a square, and that looks like a trident, and that kind of looks like a star, and you can kind of think the lines are pictures, like we look at the stars in the sky, and we say there's a bull, and there's a crab. I mean, you know, it's not really exactly like that. It takes a lot of imagination. But on Krishna's feet, quite a happy baby. Is it boy?
Yes.
How old is he?
5 months.
5 months. So I'm thinking when Prabhupada gave me Gayatri Mantra, how old was my son? Let's see. I think he was about 7 or 8 months old. And I was carrying him just exactly like that. No, my husband was carrying him. My husband was carrying him exactly like that. And we went into Prabhupada's room My husband was already Brahmin initiated when I got married. I wasn't initiated. So Prabhupada was giving me Gayatri Mantra. And Prabhupada saw that my son was laughing like that. And he went like this. Prabhupada went like this too. And he said, "Oh, he's laughing." He said, "He's very intelligent." He is actually very intelligent. And Prabhupada also said, "He is very fortunate." And I was thinking, yes, he's getting to hear the Gayatri Mantra from you, Prabhupada. Right. So anyway, Krishna's footprints actually have pictures on them. And each of Krishna's incarnations, their footprints has a little bit different pictures. Right? Radharani has some different pictures. And immediately the devotees can tell when they look at these impressions whose footprints it is. So you might say, well, Krishna's going with so many cows, thousands of cows. Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. That's a lot of cows. And Krishna has a lot of cowherd boyfriends. And not only the cowherd boys go to the forest, there are many servants that go also. Like Raktak and Patrak, they also go. So that's a lot of people and animals. How would Krishna's footprints be there? You know, when you're going with a group, the footprints get erased. But all the residents of Vrindavan, they're very careful. They worship Krishna's footprints. They walk around them. So they were still visible. And the residents of Vrindavan who lived in the village, they didn't generally go into the forest during the day. You know, Krishna at different times of the day, he's with different associates. So sometimes of the day, he's mostly with his parents, sometimes mostly with his friends, sometimes mostly with the gopis, like that. Sometimes he's mostly in the forest, sometimes he's mostly in the village. So the people who stay in the village, especially like the parents and their friends and their associates, they're not going into the forest. So they're following now Krishna's footprints into the forest. And these bad omens are there. And so they're in a lot of anxiety. what has happened. All they know is something bad has happened. They don't know what has happened. And so they're profusely crying. You know, usually when we cry, just some few tears come. But sometimes we cry like a whole river, isn't it? Not so often, but sometimes so much grief, so much distress, that there's just like, our eyes are just pouring, isn't it? And then our eyes get all like swollen from so much crying. We actually become thirsty from crying so much. So the residents of Vrindavan, they were crying so much that the ground became muddy. Now that's never happened to me. I've never cried that much. I cried so much maybe the clothes next to my neck became a little wet, but muddy ground. So they were crying so much, the ground became muddy. And they were, yeah, and they were slipping on the muddy ground, going to find Krishna. What will happen if Krishna's gone? So Maharaj Purkhit is saying this, Krishna's footprints, they're bringing all auspiciousness. But what happens if Krishna is gone? Kunti speaks about this also, that Krishna was blessing the land with his feet wherever he went. What happens when he's not there? So what happens when Krishna's footprints are not there? Even when Krishna went to Mathura and Uddhava came to speak to Nanda and Yasoda, and they were just in the house crying. Actually, Yasoda didn't say anything. She was crying so much. But you know, if somebody's grieving, you might say to them, why don't you get out of the house? Get out of the house. Go do something. But Nandamar said, if I go out of my house, everywhere I go, I think Krishna did this over here, Krishna did that over there. Oh, and I remember this thing with Krishna over here. And so when I see things in Vrindavan, I simply cry more. So what do we do when Krishna is gone? When Krishna is not on the planet, then it is the responsibility of the leaders of society to rule as if Krishna was there. They are supposed to take care of things like that. That is the responsibility. Right? Krishna is not here right now, but we will be Krishna's representatives. And especially the kings are supposed to be like that. The political rulers, particularly, have that responsibility. We find that Krishna generally, when he incarnates as a kshatriya. Like Mahaprabhu comes in a Brahmin family, but Mahaprabhu is not coming as Krishna. He's coming as a devotee. But usually when Krishna comes as Krishna, Parichanaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chiduskritam Dharmastam Sapanadpaya Sambhavani Yuge Yuge. Generally he appears as a kshatriya. And not always, like Vamandev came also as a Brahmana, but that was a little tricky. Because this is the person who's acting as the representative of God in society. They're doing the job of God, taking care of people, making sure that people have their material necessities, their spiritual necessities, that they feel safe and protected. And the problem now is that not only are Krishna's footprints no longer visible, but the political leaders in general all over the world are corrupt. In general. I'm sure there are some good political leaders. But the unfortunate situation is that every country in the world almost, with I'm sure again there's some exceptions, but in general countries are simply corrupt, more corrupt or most corrupt. You know, is there... It's a very difficult thing, Prabhupada's saying here, that the rulers illegally gratify themselves at the cost of all comforts of the citizens. I remember reading about this one I don't know what you call him, like a marshal or a sheriff. He was in charge of a prison in the United States. And there was some law that the police could keep any money that was not needed for the prison, but that was allocated for the prison. So if a certain amount of tax money was sent for the prison, and if there was some extra, then the police could keep that. That was the law, actually.
Police or policemen?
The policemen personally could keep it. And so what happened was, this man in charge of the prison, he was cutting the food given to the prisoners. So the prisoners were not receiving enough food. And this warden, I guess he would be called, he was taking this money and putting it in his own pocket. And legally he could actually do that. It was quite interesting. They couldn't really charge him with a crime, exactly. They had to find some way how to get him out and charge him. It was a very big scandal. And he was becoming a millionaire. And these prisoners were malnourished. You know, even someone is a prisoner, they have to be taken care of. Just because someone is a prisoner, we are all prisoners. And Krishna is taking care of us. So this kind of thing is going on. Or what's happening in many countries is that the environment is not being protected so that business people can make more money and therefore pay higher taxes to the government. Or sometimes people in the government, they're also running a business. And so they're changing the laws to favor so their business makes more money. And when we see this, we see citizens are not protected. You know, the businesses are giving big donations to the government or big tax money, and so the workers in the business, they don't have any health and safety protection, they don't have medical insurance, they're working in very unsafe and unhealthy conditions. And plus, the air is being polluted, the water is being polluted, just so the businesses can pay more in tax money, and the governors are using the tax money to go play golf. Well, they're spending millions of dollars, millions of euros of the taxpayers' money to play golf. And meanwhile, people don't have clean drinking water, they don't have clean air, they don't have healthy food. People go in the military and they get injured and the government doesn't take proper care of them. And this is the story everywhere, more or less. Some places are better than others. Some places are very extreme. I've been to some places in the world that are so extreme that the devotees told me, we have to budget for bribes. You know what is a bribe? Do you know what is a bribe?
Nito. Yes, it's a...
To pay the police. They say when we are driving to work every day, we know at least once, twice in a week, the police will pull us over, we have done nothing wrong. And we just have to give them some money. One time I was trying to get a visa for one of these countries, and I couldn't get the visa. And then the devotees told me, you have to pay some extra money. So I went back to the embassy. We saw the chief of the embassy. And we put like a 50 euro note in the papers. You could see it was there, like little cornering. And the man said, let me check and I will come back. He wanted us to give more money. And I thought, no, I'm not giving any more money. Came back, there was no more money. He said, okay, denied. I had this situation once, also in one country many years ago, when you had to reconfirm your ticket to return out of the country. And so the travel agent was saying to me, I cannot confirm your ticket. And meanwhile, I was flying in like 2 days. And I asked the devotees, what do I do? They say, you have to pay extra money as a bribe. And I didn't think like that. I said, how much will it cost? He said, I don't know, what do you want to give? You know, I had to give all this extra money that they are putting in their pocket. So this is the unfortunate position today, that instead of taking care of people, people are being exploited. The intellectuals are exploiting people. They're falsifying their data. They're lying about their research so they can get more grants. I mean, it's not that this corruption is only in government. The corruption is in the intellectuals also. They say this is our scientific theory, but they're not actually explaining all the information. I mean, the place where fraud, you understand fraud? What is fraud? Cheating. You understand cheating? Is most serious, I think, is in the medical industry. So there are researchers who research some drug, some medicine, and they lie about the data. It's a crime. You just imagine what this is doing. They will say this drug is curing so many people, but it's not. And there'll be some side effect, and they are hiding this. I saw one documentary many years ago about this cheating in research about medicines. Unbelievable. That people would take money from making people sick. I mean, to me, that was like, I couldn't even believe that people are so evil. And these are scientists and researchers. These are supposed to be the brahmanas. And they are cheating on their research so they will make money. And somebody will get a useless drug or a useless surgery. Or they will get some drug that will kill them. So there is cheating at every level. There is cheating in business. There's cheating in the arts. You buy something and it's not properly made. And it simply breaks. Or it hurts you. You buy something and it's defective and it causes damage to you because it's cheaper or it has some materials that damage you. And the problem is that we are all implicated in this. Practically everything we do, everything we buy, everywhere we go, we are facilitating some rascal, some cheater. It's very difficult to say, you know, well, I'm going to have a completely pure life. You know, I'm not going to help anybody hurt anybody else. That's extremely difficult. I was just reading these scientists, they're studying creatures that are fossilized in amber. You know what amber is? Amber is fossilized. You know what is fossilized? It becomes like rock hard. So amber is resin from trees. You know, trees have this liquid to protect themselves. Frankincense is a resin. And sometimes the tree resin becomes hard like a rock. And very beautiful. It's usually like an orangish color. And it's a jewel. Becomes a jewel. People wear it in jewelry. And sometimes in this amber there are insects that get trapped in the amber. And so the scientists, they purchase this amber with the insects in it. They pay a very high price. But I was reading that amber is only found in a few places in the world. And in one of these places, they mine the amber using forced labor of children. And many of these children die or become very injured. So the scientists were discussing, should we buy this amber or not? If we buy it, then we can learn so many things to help human society. But if we're buying it, then we're facilitating this slave labor of children. And some of the scientists were saying, no, we will not buy. And some says, what can we do? We have to do our research. It's a very difficult situation. So what are we going to do? Krishna is gone. We cannot find his footprints. Prabhupada says we should learn a technique of crying for Krishna. One way, if I want to cry for Krishna, I just imagine that I am in Vrindavan looking at the garbage next to the Yamuna River and saying, where is Krishna? Right? My family, we have some project where we clean at Radhakund and Govardhan. But you go there to Vrindavan, and where is Krishna's footprints? Where is Krishna? Even in Vrindavan, there's cheating, there's corruption, there's crime. What do we do? So Prabhupada is saying here that we can educate the people systematically by teaching the Bhagavatam. And this solution is based on the fact that most of the world has democracies. So Prabhupada was critical of democracies. He called them demon crazy. But Prabhupada also recognized the benefit of a democracy. You know, nothing is all bad. Everything has its good use. Nothing in this world is all good either. Krishna says there's always some fault in everything, like there's smoke and fire. So the good of democracy is if we train the people, then the people will demand good leaders. And we actually see this. We see that if the people are trained, they can overthrow the bad leaders. This is the history. Yes? In so many countries, corrupt leaders were taken out by people, by the people in general, by the citizens in general. So of course we also want to make the leaders Krishna conscious. We would love it if every head of state in the world was God conscious. And Prabhupada was asked, do they have to be in the Hare Krishna movement? He said, no. He said, just God conscious. He said, just like mathematics is mathematics in any university. So it's not that they all have to be, you know, certified ISKCON members or even Gaudiya Vaishnavas. But they should be God conscious persons. So we should certainly try to educate people who are currently in leadership positions or who can become leaders to be God conscious. And those who are already Krishna conscious and who have the nature of a kshatriya, we should encourage them to go into leadership positions. We should certainly do that. This is very important. But also we should educate people in general. We should educate people in general. If enough people in general know that we shouldn't have slaughterhouses, right, that we shouldn't have wide-scale legal intoxication, as Prabhupada will speak about in the next purport. If the people in general understand these things, we shouldn't be destroying the environment, then they will demand that the leaders act as a representative of Krishna. And of course, in one sense, we can bring Krishna's footprints back onto the earth also. When we take deities out, like Rath Yatra, or I was just in Ljubljana, they take Gorni Thai out on Padayatra. When we take out the holy name, when we go out on Harinam, when we distribute the Bhagavatam, that is also Krishna. That is also Krishna. And Prabhupada said, if we are very Krishna conscious, we become a walking Tirtha. we become a walking holy place where people can connect with Krishna. Just like you can make your phone into a hotspot, right? So we can make ourselves a spiritual hotspot where someone can connect with Krishna. And this is our hope. We do want to change the world. Krishna wants that. Of course, he could always do it himself, but he likes to give something for us to do. That's his kindness. He knows that's good for us. Just like the parents, they may ask their children to help them in the kitchen, even though it's faster and easier for the parents to do it themselves. Because they know it's good for the child to get this experience. So Krishna knows it's good for us to do some service, so he's giving us something to do. And this is our responsibility. And we can affect a change in this way. We shouldn't become discouraged that there's so few of us here. What can we do? Millions of people and just a few dozen or a few hundred devotees. But the anthropologist Margaret Mead said, don't think that a small group of people cannot change society, because that's always the way society has changed. Thank you very much. Today I actually ended on time. So questions, today comments?
Today is a bank holiday in Croatia.
It's a bank holiday in
Croatia. So we don't work.
Oh, and today I finally end on time. Jesse. So questions, comments? Yes.
I didn't listen to the whole lecture. I was in the kitchen.
You don't have speaker in the kitchen?
We have, but it also got broken like this, so it needs time to repair.
Okay.
So, a few points I catch at the end. It's about one, it's about to change the people, to make people understand that people, on account of some informations about bad leaders, they will change their ideas. No? Like there's the idea, if we inform people about bad leaders like president of Libya, Syria, Iraq, North Korea, then people will be illuminated, they will change, they will achieve some higher democratic values. But on the other hand, we see, as opposed to this American democracy idea, there is a traditional religious societies, they speak about autocratic regime being superior to that. They say you cannot, with information, you cannot change people, that you should induce people to transform with religious values, with some kind of autocracy which enhances religious practices, values, things like that.
Well, Prabhupada is not suggesting here that we change people just by giving them information that their leaders are bad. That's not his suggestion. I mean, that's part of what we should be telling people. And we see people try to do this in ISKCON also. We have groups of people in ISKCON who make it their business to list all of the faults in any leader. It's what we have. We have people, they think, this is my business. My business is that I will find out the faults in any leader and I will spread it. And as soon as everybody realizes that their leaders have these faults, then they will get rid of them.
We have one in Croatia.
Oh, I'm sure you have more than one. So, I'm sure you have more than one. Some are more obvious than others. That's all. Some are more active than others. Most people are too busy to do this full time. That's all. But that's not what Prabhupada is suggesting. He's suggesting that we educate people systematically in the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is a transformation, like you're suggesting. We're suggesting that we transform people's hearts. not that we simply educate them that their leaders are bad. First of all, no leader is going to be God except for God. That's the first thing. You know, I've told this story before. There was a temple I used to visit frequently, and it was a very vibrant temple, very alive. Every morning program, temple was full, so many Shastra classes going on all the time. Many, many people coming from all different ethnicities, nationalities, etc. And then I came back another time, and the temple was empty. Mangalartik was me and the pujari. Japa time was only me. Bhagavatam class, I was speaking to one or two people. And I was there for a big festival. There were 600 guests, but they told me these are just two families. Two Indian families. This was in America. There were maybe three people there who were not from these two families out of 600 people. And I asked somebody, what happened? They said, well, the other temple president, he wasn't very good at managing the money, and the temple was going into debt. So we got rid of him. We got a new temple president. They said, but with the new temple president, his wife upsets everybody, and so nobody wants to come to the temple. And I said, you should have kept the old temple president and just got a new treasurer. So this is, I said, you know, you're looking for God. So one thing we should be careful, that every leader will have some fault. I mean, frankly, even among the Pandavas, Draupadi was very lucky she had five husbands. Because when she was attacked by Kichak, Yudhisthira was like, just tolerate it. We just only have a few more days. How could she tolerate it? And she went to Bhima and he killed the guy. But Bhima had his problems also. You know, Bhima just started killing all these yakshas to get a lotus flower. So everybody has their strengths and weaknesses except for Krishna. That is one thing. So you can always give faults of leaders, even good leaders. As far as should we bring back an autocracy, Prabhupada definitely preferred, scriptures definitely preferred an autocracy to democracy. There's no question. But a democracy is better than a corrupt autocracy. Because corrupt leaders can do more harm in an autocracy than a democracy. And in fact, the whole reason that democracy became popular on the planet was that the leaders of the autocracy were so corrupt and they were causing so much harm that the people said, let us have weak government. Better, if we're going to have a corrupt government anyway, better that it's a weak government. That is the thinking behind democracy. So if you study democracy, it's not just about voting. It's not only about voting. It's about making the government weak. Just like you have these different branches of government. And so the president may say something, but the judges can say no. Or the parliament can say no. It's called the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branch. And nobody has a lot of power. So people can stop the power of the other rulers. And then the rulers changed frequently. Like in America, we cannot have a president more than 8 years. So all these things make government very weak. And because government is weak, it cannot be very strong to stop criminals. It cannot be very strong to establish religious principles. I mean, just like in America, we had one president who put solar panels on the White House. The next president came, took them down. So this is by changing the rulers frequently, somebody will come and protect the environment. I mean, let's say we had a devotee in a position of leadership in the United States. And then they can only stay 8 years. Even if they could do wonderful things. Let's imagine they could close the slaughterhouses. And would it be, first of all, be very difficult because you have these other branches of government that would stop them. And even if they did something wonderful, after 8 years maximum, they're gone. Somebody else is there. So democracy is to make leaders weak. And for sure, if you're going to have evil people running a government, it's better to make them weak. I would much rather an evil person with no weapon than an evil person with a weapon. If I have to have somebody evil in charge. But better you have good people who are strong. I mean, if you look, not only government, authority is being weakened everywhere. The authority of a husband over his wife is weakened. Yes? Legally? Yeah. Now is very little. And when I was a child, a married woman could not get a credit card in her own name. In the United States. When I was born. A married woman could not own property separately. There were not all these laws about domestic violence. There was no law about rape in marriage. There was no law like that. Divorce laws were very strict. You could only get a divorce in certain circumstances. You had to be able to prove it. It was very difficult to get a divorce. Now that is all finished. Why? Because too many men were evil. And so they said, okay, weaken their authority. Same with parents. You know, now the government can take children away from parents for almost nothing. You let your child walk to the park by themselves when they're 9 years old. They can take your child. Why? Because so many parents have become abusive. I mean, when I was a child going to school, whatever the teacher said, that was it. Parents could not argue with the teacher. Teacher says this, that's it. Now the parents go to the teacher, they argue, teacher gets fired. So it's not just government is losing their authority everywhere. I read an article recently, it was focusing on America, but I think it's not just America, about the end of expertise. I see this in ISKCON all the time, everywhere in the world. We don't respect that somebody's an expert in something. You know, there's somebody comes, they're actually an architect. And we just listen to some other devotee who has no expertise. See it all the time. The concept of respect for authority is just finishing in the world. Somebody can have a degree, they can have 30 years of experience in some field, and everyone else thinks they know just as much. Someone who never finished secondary school, they think, I know. Why do I have to listen to you? So this is a problem everywhere. And it's a problem because people misuse their authority. You know, when the people with the PhDs write false papers so they can sell bad drugs to make money, then we lose your respect for the intellectuals. Do you understand? So it's a big, 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 big problem. So if we just come and say, we're going to restore authority, forget it. Just forget it. If you just go and say, we're going to restore an autocratic government and we're going to restore respect for the intellectuals and the women respecting their husbands and the children respecting their parents and everybody respecting the children's teachers, you will fail. Try in ISKCON right now to get the devotees to respect the teachers in ISKCON schools. You just try to do that. Good luck. So, Prabhupada's saying that what we can do is systematically educate people in the principles of the Bhagavatam. Start from the bottom and actually reform people's character. And as people in general change their character, gradually these things will be reintroduced, I'm sure. But you just try to force it like that, people will not accept it. They just won't. I mean, we had somebody just submit an article for Back to Godhead, all Shastra, how women should follow their husbands. And the editors mostly said, we cannot publish this. It was very sad, you know, that if we publish this, people will object. They will say, but so many husbands are bad. What do we say? You know, it's a very, 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 very sad situation. It's a very unfortunate situation. But we're not just going to simply cry. You know, but we can systematically teach Bhagavatam. That we can do. And we can reform our character, and we can try to reform the character of the world. And I don't think in my lifetime we are going to see the return of a real Kshatriya in government, a real Rajrishi. I don't think so. I mean, that would be nice. But I'm not expecting that. But at least maybe my great-great-great-grandchildren, they'll see that these things will be restored. We just do our little bit now. Sorry. I don't think that was the answer you wanted.
Not exactly.
No, but what to do? What to do? Even the autocratic governments in the world are losing their power. They are. No. I know, I visit those countries. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, sir. This what you are talking is the material situation in the world, how the governments and everything is happening, and it can go in a waves. You know, sometimes now it's big in general rise of liberalism. But then if this is rising and everything is happening because and there was a good cause to bring all these laws.
Yes.
Laws. But on the other hand, now the other side is misusing the liberal laws.
Yes.
For example, the ladies get married to someone who is rich and then just make a divorce and
yes.
get half of money and she used to have nothing before except
yes.
a beautiful body with
yes.
female attributes. And also you can charge someone for violence in the family even though
there was no violence. Yes.
And I have seen personally those examples
yes.
around me, so I know this.
Oh, yes.
So there's the thing.
And absolutely.
On the grand scale, we have people coming from countries into Western Europe, which is, and then using and misusing all the freedom and opportunities they get. Not everyone, but some of them.
Absolutely.
They push their own traditions over local people. Local people becomes, you know, just inside. What is happening?
Yes.
Happening among the people again is a revolt. And then this right wing in the political is growing. And what will happen? One day they will come to the power and they will diminish all this.
Yes,
so this
exactly.
is the theory of God.
Yes.
Another thing what I want to, this is second thing what I want to say. I was traveling around and I was in Libya before.
Yes.
For some time living. It was autocracy. But everybody had everything they wanted. Really, people are economically happy. You finish your school, you get your job. You get your flat. You don't buy, you get it. So this was quite a good social system.
Yes.
And I was, on the other hand, in a completely other society. I was living in Emirates, which is complete autocracy. There is no democracy.
America and all the other countries never attack Emirates because of autocracy to give them democracy. Because they are their friends.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the system is good because the leaders there, they're religious. It's lower, we would say, we say, I repeat, we say this is a lower level of religion than we have, because they eat meat and so on. But on the other hand, all these, their religious principles are followed in the country.
Yes, I have been, I spend much time there, yes.
Everybody has all, everything they should have. And the country was very, very poor. But the leaders who came, they used the resources they had, and they brought it, and they built it.
Okay, but how are they, what are they building this on?
Yeah, on oil.
No, not just on oil. What else are they building it on?
They build. They didn't have enough working force.
That's right.
They brought working force from Pakistan and.
And what do they do with those people?
They are doing the lower level of. They're doing the all labor because local people they don't do.
But what are they doing with that labor they're bringing from abroad? How are they treating them?
So they are not treated well, but they get. They come there by their will, because there they get salary enough.
That's not really true.
I was with them inside.
But many of them, they are.
Okay. They get the salary for which they can support their families in Pakistan and India and so on.
Yes.
But this is what I just wanted to say, that it's autocracy, this is democracy in Libya and so on. But anyway, it's working. It's a race of liberalism. People are using now this liberalism. Before they were using this, autocratism. And so this is a material now. So where I come now to come is that should we not, from our side and the people around us, act as it is proper? So, for example, I'm a man and I have a wife, or I have a teacher, I have a spiritual master, and so on. Should I not relate towards them as it should be? So I should protect and be nice towards my wife. I should teach and protect my child. I should respect my guru. And I should respect you and all the other senior devotees. Even though it is not now
fashionable
in the world, I should see what is written. Not only teach about Bhagavatam, I should see what is in Bhagavatam. And try to behave like this.
Yes, each of us should set that. That's what will happen. If we teach it, systematically teach the Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada's saying here, then we will behave nicely as an example. What you're saying in some of these countries, though, I mean, I go there and I see that in many cases it's built on almost slave labor, close to. You're saying these people come out of their free will, but many of them are lied to. They're told, you'll get this and this and this, and when they come to those countries, their passports are taken away. They're stuck there for many, many years without their families in horrible living conditions. So they're not exploiting their own citizens so much, but they're exploiting citizens of other countries. So I am also very impressed with some of these countries. I mean, I think often when I visit these countries, you know, we are saying we have a higher philosophy, but we cannot present some country in the world that's clean and well-ordered and where people are taken care of and where there's religious principles. And frankly, in these places, we can. You go there, there's low crime rate, things are clean, things are orderly, they're well taken care of, and they're promoting religious principles. But again, if you look a little deeper, you'll see the government is still corrupt. And their prosperity is riding on the backs of people from other countries that they're exploiting. So that's there. That's not like it's not there. And even in those countries, the people are pushing for more democratization. They are. You know, if you look at what's happening now in Saudi Arabia, for example. So there's a push from the people to get rid of the autocracy, even in places where it's working quite well. As far as us as devotees, sure, we should do the right thing. Absolutely, we should do the right thing. But it's hard. It's hard even in ISKCON in 2019 to do the right thing. I'm just speaking very frankly. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. You know, I found there are certain things Prabhupada says that if I preach about those things, it would not be very much accepted in ISKCON today. I would get attacked from all sides. And I wouldn't even get any support from the higher leadership. That's the reality. Even the higher leadership would back away and say, no, Armila, you can't say these things. Even though they're in Prabhupada's books and Prabhupada's teachings. So it's a difficult time. I'm sorry to say this. It gives me sadness, but it is. You know, I was a Gurukul teacher in ISKCON for many years. And if I say, you know, you should send your chief, we should make schools for devotee children and send our children there and we should respect the teachers, I'm going to get attacked. But what about this abuse that happened in, you know, 1982? How can we trust the Gurukuls? I see it. I just saw it yesterday, in fact. And if I say, you know, women should follow their husbands, I guarantee you, if I put something up on Facebook today, if I took the verse from the seventh canto, women should follow the vows of their husbands, and if I put that on Facebook, within 5 minutes, I would get attacked by devotees. I'm sure, without any doubt. If I put something on Facebook about cows, I get attacked. Because so many people are vegan. And I put something about cows and cow protection and milk. Immediately, I will get attacked by devotees. If I put something about obedience to guru, submission to guru, I will get attacked by devotees. Immediately. It's bad. It's really bad. It's not some, you know, it's extreme. So yeah, it'll push the other way. There are people pushing hard the other way. And these things, yes, they go in waves up and down. So I try to behave properly. And I try to encourage other people to behave properly. And that we should at least set a good example. We should be good leaders and we should respect leaders. That should be part of the understanding of the Bhagavatam. But how much we can do this, I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could be more positive about it. I wish I could. I wish I could say, yes, we can do this today, but I don't, that's not my experience. And there's not even anyone behind you if you try to do it. You follow? There's nobody back there. So if you talk about these things and you get criticized and you say, okay, senior devotees, GBC, ISKCON leaders, back me up. Oh, no. What to do? So I'm a practical person. I believe in being practical. I believe in going with what there is and preaching according to time, place, and circumstance. Jai Hari Bol. But yeah, I think we should set an example ourselves. At least we can do that. We can be a good father, good mother, good husband, good disciple, good member of ISKCON, encourage the people under our charge to do the same, encourage the leaders to be responsible and not corrupt, and encourage the followers to follow the leaders. That we can do. But yeah. I mean, therefore, I see what Prabhupada says. In the absence of a suitable king, educate the people systematically in the teachings of Bhagavatam. That's why I'm saying that, because that's what's in this purport, and you can hate me for it, and I'm sorry, but that's what Prabhupada says in this purport. He says, if there aren't suitable kings, educate the people systematically in Bhagavatam. He doesn't say, go around criticizing the kings and go around criticizing the presidents. He accepts. Prabhupada's also accepting. Other places, Prabhupada will say, let's reestablish a righteous government. But at the same time, he's accepting, if you don't have a righteous government, okay, use democracy to educate the people, and then they will demand a good government. But I agree with you, but I've been in these places, and I'm like, wow, there's something good here that we don't have in the liberal democracies. There is. You know, but there's something good that we have in the liberal democracies that we don't have there also. That's the material world. It's not that those places are all good. You know, you said you've lived there. If you spend enough time there, you see, oh, but there's also this problem. Yeah. Yeah. We'll take one more from you and then that's it. Microphone. I was happy I wasn't going to speak on the next verse. It's even more controversial.
Thank you.
Yes.
I heard once before from an Eastern preacher that we should teach our kids to give something called Dushma Poshtovanya, how to translate it.
Honorable respect.
Honorable respect to our worldly teachers.
Yes.
Maybe kindergarten teachers or...
Yes.
So is it... Is it true? What is your opinion on that? So
yes, I completely agree. 100% agree. Society is only going to be sane and stable when people give honor and respect even to their worldly authorities. And the worldly authorities have to be respectable, both.
Shikshastaka says this about respect.
Respecting everyone, but particularly respecting authority. Even worldly authority. Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada would show respect to people who were just older than him. You know. So, definitely. At the same time, unfortunately, we also have to train our children that they need to feel safe to report abuse. I'm sorry. I wasn't trained like that in childhood at all. Nobody talked about such a thing, ever. Never. Not once, ever, did anyone talk about such a thing. They said, don't get in a car with a stranger. But nobody ever said, you know, if someone you know, someone you love, some teacher does something, you should report it. There was no education like that at all. I don't think that started until like maybe the 90s. So, unfortunately, we have to do both. I'm sorry, I wish I didn't have to say that. It's very painful that we have to say that, but we have to do both. Offer respect and honor to your authorities, even in the world, what to speak of the devotees. And also learn what to do if somebody is abusive. And we have to teach this even to little children. That's... Sorry. So I don't want to end on such a sad note. Let's see. What could we end on that was a little happier? That even in this dark age of Kali, if we just meditate on Krishna's footprints, at least we as individuals will be okay. We'll feel safe and happy if we can meditate on Krishna's footprints, whether we're in a crazy liberal government or a crazy conservative government or a crazy democracy or a crazy autocracy or... whatever is going on, if we meditate on Krishna's footprints, then we'll be okay. and we will not, we at least personally will not be touched by the age of color. Is that all right? Is that a good positive note? I don't like to end on depressing notes.
But this is basically the nature of this movement. We are not here to make a perfect society on Earth, because it doesn't exist and it will never exist. We are here to enable people and ourselves to go out from this place.
Well, I don't agree with you 100%. I think our movement is actually meant to do some of both, because Prabhupada does urge us to try to make a good society. Perfect? Okay. You know, maybe only when Ramchandra himself is ruling as king it's perfect. But we are meant to change the world, not just get out of this place. I very humbly don't agree with you 100%. How much can we make the world a Krishna-conscious place in Kali Yuga? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do it in the rest of my life, this life. But I do understand, Prabhupada says that, he says if we go on Harinam, we will create real Brahmins and Kshatriyas. And he does talk about Mahaprabhu's movement creating a world that doesn't look like Kali Yuga. He does talk about that. And it's something that Prabhupada brings up frequently. It's not something he just says one time or two times. It's something he says many, 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 many times, dozens, maybe hundreds of times, that our movement is not only for helping people to get out of the world, but it is also for making the world a nicer place. Even materially speaking, that is more conducive to God consciousness. So I would say that we do have that responsibility. It is part of our mission. So I'm sorry that I don't agree. And how that will happen is, again, I don't think it will happen immediately. But I do see signs that it's happening. We talked about that the other day. You know, more and more people becoming vegetarian and vegan. People going for the protection of women. People going for the protection of the environment. People pushing for truthfulness. The irony is that the main people pushing for the same things we're pushing for are, what would you say, they are in the liberal camps or the conservative camps? What would you say? People in general in the world who are making propaganda and pushing for agendas and a world that is closest to what we're also pushing for, are most of them identifying as liberals or most of them identifying as conservatives?
Depending on what? It's not depending on subject. We know this, like in every country, we have two main political parties.
But overall, if you want to look overall.
Depend on the subject. Because if we are talking about religion, then it's more
the conservatives.
If we are talking about human rights, it's more liberal.
Okay.
But this is the thing. It's very important to know. It's not that we are connected with the values of liberal. Yes, we are for the human rights. But when we are talking about religion,
then it's the conservatives. Yes.
Because they push for religion.
That is true. And therefore, we run a risk by saying we hate all the liberals or we hate all the conservatives.
Yes.
And we run a risk if we identify with the liberals or we identify with the conservatives. Yeah. I mean, so we have devotees who are saying we hate all the liberal agenda. We're all conservatives. But I'm sorry, it's the liberals who are going for vegetarianism and protection of women. That's not coming from the conservatives. You know, but the liberals are going to say, throw out all religion, just let anybody do whatever they want, don't have any kind of moral codes. So then we want to go with the conservatives. Yeah. So we have to be careful about aligning ourselves with any particular group. But anyway, I do see that we have this, this is part of the mission that Srila Prabhupada gave to us. It's probably a little harder than just teaching people bhakti yoga and saying, you know, get your individual life together and go back to Godhead. You know, that's easy, relatively speaking. But trying to fix society, you know, we go, oh, well, what can we do? But it is part of our mission.
But if we do this, if we help the people around us who want to become a devotee, then it automatically affects the society.
That's what Prabhupada's saying in this purport. But part of helping the people around us to become devotees is also giving them guidance as to how to change society. Because otherwise, if we help them to become devotees and then we tell them, your work is all Maya, the only Krishna consciousness is when you're chanting japa, when you're in the kirtan. We also need to give people the keys as to how to change society. Yes? How to be a Krishna conscious banker, how to be a Krishna conscious retailer, how to be a Krishna conscious political leader, how to be a Krishna conscious intellectual. So I see that that's part of system educating the people systematically in the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't see that as just teaching people to fall in love with Rajraj Krishna's footprints on the way to the Kaliya Lake. I don't see that as our only business. That we just simply, okay, absorb yourself in Krishna's lila and Krishna's footprints. But we also have a business to say, hey, you're young, you're a grahasta, use your talents, go in the world, change the world. And this is the template. Am I right?
First of all, I don't see here the same. I didn't think we are here just to come into ourselves and with a few guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Come into ourselves and don't look around. No?
Right.
We are looking around and we are supporting people to go and to advance in a spiritual life on their level and to use all their abilities. If he is a lawyer, why not to be a lawyer? I will not tell him how to be a lawyer, but I want to teach or help him how to become more elevated in Krishna.
But we should teach them not how to be a lawyer in the technical,
yes.
But we should teach them how to be a lawyer in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
I mean, I saw a devotee post something yesterday about there's a devotee dentist. Devotees go to see him and non-devotees go to see him, but his dental work is not devotional. And I'm like, why not? Why can't his dentist work be devotional? So, it can, yes. But anyway, I really like the point you brought up about the liberals are the same with us in one and the conservatives are the same with the other.
It's from experience we have here.
Yes, everywhere. Yes. Everywhere. Everywhere. And it's interesting, you know, the liberals will support vegetarianism, but they'll also support abortion, which is very strange.
Yes.
Don't kill the animals, but kill the babies.
Yes. For example, here, there is also, we have this with abortion. The conservatives are against it, and the liberals are, you know, it's a
woman's issue.
Right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
What about child?
Yeah, exactly. But the conservatives are much more likely to be hunters.
Yes.
Isn't it? And meat eaters. This is the irony of this. I one time was getting some training in counseling, and there were two teachers, and one was a liberal spiritual person and the other was a conservative religious person. And it was interesting to see how each of them had faults and good qualities. It was fascinating. You know, the conservative religious person was much more humble, had much more of a service attitude, was much more conscious of God as a person, but he was a meat eater and he had no interest in Krishna consciousness at all. And the liberal spiritual person arranged for everybody in the class to get prasadam, told me I didn't have to pay for the class because it was his karma yoga, but he was very proud, was extremely arrogant, was, you know, talked about how he smoked marijuana and had only interest in Brahman. He had no interest in Bhagavan. It was just fascinating, you know. That I thought, okay, we agree with this person about this thing and this person about this thing, and neither one of them is providing a comprehensive view of what we are. So devotees should be careful about aligning themselves with the conservative or aligning themselves with the liberals. You know, it's... Yeah. we're kind of in our own category. Thank you very much for having me. I hope I didn't offend anybody with this class.
Not here for sure.
Okay. For those listening, I don't know. If any of you hate me, I'm sorry. What to do?
But, you know, what can we do? We don't want to offend anybody. But if we offend, saying what Prabhupada was saying and so on, we are sorry. But that's the thing.
I'll read it again. In the absence, this is Prabhupada, not me, okay? Talk to Prabhupada about this. In the absence of a suitable king to curb irreligious tendencies, educating the people systematically in the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam will clear up the hazy atmosphere of corruption, bribery, blackmail, etc. Srila Prabhupada ki.